Hello, I want to thank everybody for joining us on our Kinetic call. Very excited today about the call. We have two great speakers. Our first speaker tonight is going to be Mickey Connell. He is out of Pastor Larry Webb's church in Milton, Florida. He is a United Pentecostal Church minister and is very active in his church. Currently, he's involved in prison ministry. He's working as a bus director, New Life director. He teaches a discipleship class on Sunday mornings and does anything that his pastor asks him. He's very involved. Mickey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Well, man, we're excited to have you on the call. You sound like one of the busiest men in Pentecost.
Well, and it's always sacrifice whenever you're involved in a church, and you're either going to give a little or a lot. It's up to you. And in order to win souls, you got to get busy.
You got to get busy. You got to be involved. Amen.
That's right.
I just read a quote just recently about how that Jesus came into the earth and got involved with our lives, and it was messy. And you just have to get involved with people's lives, and life is just messy no matter how you look at it.
Absolutely. Ministry is always going to cost you something. Most time it's your time, money, and a lot of sacrifice in order to win souls.
That is true. Well, Mickey, I'm glad you joined us today. I wanted you to tell us a little bit about your ministry and why it's important for a church to have a bus ministry and how you got your bus ministry started.
Well, first of all, the importance. Who can never tell you how great an importance a bus ministry is? But you just never know who that next kid that you meet, what he's going to be in God. He could be the next evangelist. He could be the next pastor, next greatest soul winner. Kids, the kids that we meet every week, just when you put your 100% into it, it just it does something to you. We started about 2 years ago. Our youth started knocking doors, and pastor come to me and asked me if I would organize door knocking and bus ministry. And so we decided let's try to get this a little bit more organized than what it was. And so we approached it a little bit different. We were hitting knocking doors every door, a different door every week. And we realized that we wasn't picking up many. And I got to thinking, if it was my kid, would I really let them go with somebody that I just met? And we decided at that point we will knock that same door for 6 weeks, every weekend. Oh. And it, that way we could build a relationship with those kids. And so that's what we started doing. And to me, what I seen is the first week, you're just another church. Second week, yeah, maybe you really care. The third week, we kind of connected with them at that point. By the fourth week, when we come back, we connected with that family, and then they begin to trust us. And after that fourth week, we started picking up kids. And it was one kid after another. We went into a neighborhood that had one road in and one road out. And, of course, we took our bus and we painted it to look like a lifesaver. And on the side of it, it said, Jesus Christ, the real lifesaver. And everybody in town knows our bus. And so we started knocking doors and driving our bus through it. And we would give them a little gift bag. And at that point, they realized they knew who we were. And after, like I said, mm-hmm. after that fourth week, that they started believing that we were there, that we were wanting their kids, want to be a part of their lives, and they started allowing their kids to come. And since then, we have, after the first year, we looked, December the 5th, the end of the first year, we looked out over the congregation. We had 48 adults that had come as a result, just adults, as a result of our bus ministry. So not only does the kids, do you allow the kids to come and the kids, you know, grow your children's church and grow your Sunday school, but if you'll love them and if you'll invest in their time, invest your money and your time in them, you can win the parents of those kids.
Amen. Amen. Well, that sounds awesome. I just want to say that out of everything you said there, for all that are listening, consistency seems to be the key. You said that first week, second week, third week, you can't just go hit or miss with this ministry.
That's right. The other thing that we started too as well, when we realized a lot of these kids, we were going in houses and dressing the kids because their parents being out all night. Once they learned to trust us, some of our bus team actually was going in. Their parents wouldn't even be home, and they would allow us to come in, grab the kids, let's go, and they knew where they were going. But now that took months. But we decided, you know what, these kids are coming to church without even eating. So we decided we're going to start cooking breakfast every Sunday morning. And at 6:45, I have a team that gets to the church and begins cooking breakfast, pancakes and apple juice and bacon every weekend. And so when those kids get to church, they have a hot meal, and they love it. They look forward to the pancakes every Sunday morning. So
wow.
It takes time, it takes effort, but it takes loving them and a little bit of effort, and you'll see the results.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of people being involved. You mentioned branding, you know, being able to have a vehicle out there that they know is from your church.
That's right.
And I think that's important to get the message out there and things of that nature. But I think the great message here is that 48 adults were added to your church membership. That's powerful.
Just this past weekend, we have been picking up one of our young fellows. I think he was 5 or 6 years old. Dakota, and for past 2 years, and we don't allow any adults on our bus because of background checks, and some of the neighborhoods that we go into is, you know, just really you need a background check in order for an adult to ride. Let me just put it that way. And
right.
So his mother come out and met the bus on Sunday morning and said, "Hey, you know, I'd like to ride with Dakota," and you know our bus team said, "No, if you'll drive, we just don't allow that." And so I explained to her on Sunday morning, this is 2 weeks ago, and she said, "Hey, I understand, I agree." Well, she was there that Sunday. This past Sunday, she brought her husband. After 2 years of just bringing Dakota every weekend, now his parents have started showing up. So you don't know what the length of time it takes to invest in a kid, but if you'll love them, you'll see their parents too. So
That's amazing. Now, You've given us a lot of details about your ministry and describing it, but for those that are listening, what are some simple steps that a church can take in reaching their community and eventually starting a bus ministry of their own?
Well, what we did is we drove around and looked. We drove in neighborhoods and looked for bicycles. We looked for the kids' toys in the neighborhood. And we decided at that point, hey, this area has the most, seems like the most kids. And so we just took a couple blocks. We didn't overwhelm ourselves. We just took a couple blocks. And we started out with the youth, and we started out with a couple other people. And we knocked those same doors every week. And that's just the consistency of knocking those same doors every week. We took about an hour and a half every Saturday morning. At the same time, that was the other thing. We went out every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, and about the third week, we noticed those kids were watching out the window at that same time because we had a little gift bag, a little Coke, a couple pieces of candy in a gift bag with our church flyer in it. And when we went at that same time, those kids were waiting for us to show up. And to this day, we still carry a little gift bag. We visit our bus riders every Saturday morning that we'll be riding the next day, and we still carry them a little gift bag of candy, and just to let them know that we care.
Well, that is amazing. It sounds like that in order for a church to do this, they're going to have to scout out their areas, find places where they know there's a lot of kids, and then start just going out and being consistent. You said you do it every Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's correct. Every Saturday morning, I actually started this year and have a rotating team, so it's not the same ones every Saturday morning, but we knock the same doors. And so we have two door-knocking teams, and they go to – first of all, they go to our bus riders that have been consistent and ride every weekend, and we make sure they're going to be on the bus for Sunday morning. And then we go to a new block and knock that new block's doors. And so every Saturday morning, we do door knocking to make sure, you know, first of all, to try to grow bus ministry, but second of all, to make sure that we retain the ones that have been coming. So we don't want another church or don't want anybody else to come in and get our kids. And we don't call them bus kids. They're King's kids. They're so many times we call them, you know, or we get used to calling them bus kids, and it creates a negative atmosphere or even a negative thought in their mind, and we don't want them excluded from our church at all by calling them bus kids. We call them our King's kids.
Right. So, now, how many total people do you have currently involved in your bus ministry, or how many people did you have starting it out?
We started out with about five of our youth and my family, which is five. Now we're at 25 every week. I have on Sunday morning, I call it my grandma squad. They're all my retirees that are about five elderly ladies that actually cook our breakfast and serve our breakfast to our King's kids. So
you have senior adults involved in bus ministry as well.
Absolutely, and they absolutely love it, because when they walk in when the King's kids pull up in the bus and they open that back door into the dining hall, the first thing they do is run and hug every one of those our elderly seniors, and like it's their grandmother, and our seniors love it.
Yeah, and all of those kids, that's what they're looking for. I think that every kid is looking for time, attention, and to be appreciated, to know that they have value.
That's exactly it. They want to know, do you love them? And like I said,
right.
If you will love them, you'll win them. If you'll love them, you'll win them. Not only them, but their parents. We have a King's Kid choir now that we actually, on special occasions, we have our King's Kids will actually sing. We did it for Christmas this past year at our Christmas banquet. We had our King's Kids, just King's Kids, sing at in the main sanctuary. So, and they loved it. So if you'll invest in them, you will win them, if you'll love them.
Well, that's awesome. What is your information? Can you, if people wanted to contact you and talk to you personally about bus ministry and get some tips and take a little more time than what we've taken today, how would they get in contact with you?
First of all, I do have a Facebook account. It is Mickey Cannell. Also, my email address is very simple. It's mickey.cannell@yahoo.com. And spelling that out is mickey.connell@yahoo.com.
Well, Mickey, I want to say thank you. You're doing a phenomenal job reaching the community. Your pastor is probably one of the most well-known pastors for his Adopt-A-Block ministry and things that he's done throughout the years. And so I pray that you'll greet your pastor for us and tell him that how much we love and respect him. And thank you again for being on the call with us today.
Well, thank you, sir. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, you've been a blessing to the kingdom of God. This is going to be great information for those out there that are looking to start a bus ministry.
Well,
our next speaker is going to be hosted by Josh Combs. He's a children's evangelist and had a vision and a burden for this Kinetic call. Josh, who do you have with you today?
Thank you, Rick. And again, I want to say thanks to Mickey for being on the call. And that was some great information that he shared with us. So thank you so much. Our next speaker tonight is a good friend of mine, and it is so good to have Reverend Michael Whitmire from the Great Land of Canada. And Brother Whitmire has been the director or the Sunday school director of Atlantic Kids. And for those of you not aware, the Atlantic District in Canada consists of the provinces of New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, and Newfoundland. And it is so good to have him. Mike has five awesome kids, and he's been married to Beth since 2000. And he is also a pastor. He moved to New Brunswick to pastor since 2005. And I personally have been involved in Mike's ministry. I've had the privilege to preach up there at the camp. And this is just a great guy. So, Mike, it is so good to have you on the call tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Mike, I know when I've been involved in your ministry up there in Canada, I know you place a very big emphasis on marketing and on branding. And so just kind of share a little bit about what you do and your philosophy on how marketing and branding kids' ministry works. You know, how can we better brand our children's ministries?
Well, first off, it's a work in progress. I like it. I like what it's done in our church, in our children's ministry. Some people are nervous about when you start incorporating terminology like marketing and branding into the kingdom of God and the work of God. And I like to simplify it by just saying, this is our witness. This is our witness and how we present ourselves to the world. The philosophy, my philosophy comes from basically Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And if you don't show this light, then you're not doing it right. So we've got to show our light in the right way so that basically his light can be seen in us. Now, that spiritualizes it enough to take the fear away from terminology like marketing and branding, then
right.
Then I hope that I've assuaged those fears. I mean, those words have been around for long enough. They're no longer buzzwords, so I can I feel comfortable using them within taking the business approach that they do well and applying it in the kingdom of God.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, so I was going to ask, so in kids' ministries, you know, like in a local kids' ministry, in church, you know, and I like what you said about where it's not necessarily, you know, you want to get, you know, it's not, you're not marketing for the sake of just marketing, but you want to present, you know, your kids' ministry, you want to present what you're doing in a way that is appealing. You know, and I believe it's very, essential to have something that's excellent, you know, and something that, you know, that looks good. And so just kind of, tell us a little bit about that, about how can we better brand, you know, our kids' ministries? You know, I know there's kids pastors listening tonight and even Sunday school teachers. How can we better shine our light, like you said, in a way that is presentable to others?
First off, you've got to you got to figure out, and for everybody it's different. For every program it's different, whether it's a district department, whether it's a local kids program, whether it's even a children's evangelist, you got to figure out who you're reaching for. Most times I've found that, it just in my local experience, the best person to reach for is mom. If you're branding, if you're marketing, you're going to want to create an image or create a look that appeals to early 20-something, 30-something females, because those are the people who primarily are making the choices about where their kids go. Now, kids have a lot of say nowadays, especially in where they go, so you're going to want to reach for them, but figure out who you're reaching for and then create your look. Take a look at other products that reach for that demographic. Take a look at other media that reaches specifically or is targeted towards that demographic. And then you can take that look, if you're looking at print media or even a video media that you're putting out, or even if you're putting out something like a radio ad or something like that, you can take a look at what that sounds like and kind of duplicate either that sound with your message, or duplicate that look with your message, or duplicate that feel, whatever it may be, with your message, and you will connect at an emotional level, you'll connect at an intrinsic level to the target audience, if you will, or the person that demographic that you want to relate to, that's going to be most influential in helping your kids to get to Sunday school, and that's number one. After that, it's going to be a matter of I like what Mickey said, just about he was identifying his church as the church that cared. So they come up with a plan of, you know, 6 weeks consistently they were knocking on that same door, and that was just faithfulness, consistency. That was a very physical thing, but that was branding. They were branding themselves, and it was repetitious, but it was effective. Obviously, you see his statistics and the numbers and the results of it. You see it being effective in that consistency, whether it be in knocking on the same door for 6 weeks or creating an image that shows up numerous times throughout a marketing campaign or whatever it may be. That repetition is very important in being able to tie together your program, whatever it may be, your kids' program, your children's evangelism program, whatever it may be, to the audience, whoever you're reaching for, whoever's going to be making that decision that's going to send that child to Sunday school or keep them coming to Sunday school or send them to your kids' camp or whatever it may be.
That's good. That's good. And I think, you know, the underlying theme here is that, you know, obviously, you know, as a church, as a kids' ministry, you know, we strive to see people saved, and we want to reach out to the masses. You know, we want to reach out to people in our community and to provide them with the gospel. You know, but the truth is that along with that, we also live in a very business world, you know, and there are certain things that we can do, you know, that and branding, like you said, with the church in Florida that Mickey does with the bus ministry. You know, he's sending a message in a very simple way of being in the neighborhood, but he is branding of this is what our church is about. This is a church that cares. So I think, you know, underlying all of this, what you're saying is, you know, we're sending parents a message. We're sending kids a message about what we do as a kids ministry and about, you know, what we have to offer. And the end of it all is to introduce people to Jesus, you know, and to introduce families to God. And so, you know, I think that's very good. What are some practical things, Mike, that we can do in branding our kids ministry? You know, I know that you're big on, you know, logos, and I think everyone should be big on logos, you know, and branding. So just kind of give us a little bit on that, about what you've done up there at Atlantic Kids and about what are some practical things we can do to brand our ministry.
Well, specifically you're talking about logos. You take a look again at who's your primary, who are you reaching for? When we first launched our Atlantic Kids website a couple years ago, again, my target primarily was middle-aged moms. So we went, but we wanted to have a classy look. So we went with simple colors. We had some flowing design to it, kind of I'm hoping a female touch. That's really what we wanted that. But I've noticed over the past number of years that our volunteerism has been growing younger and younger. So late teens, adults, and early 20s. So we've kind of hardened up our line specifically. Just the look of something has to reflect who you're reaching for. And so our Atlantic Kids has stayed the same, but just the look of the website has changed. Now, whether or not that makes any difference, it just identifies who we're reaching for primarily.
Gotcha.
And when I think about branding, is if I could kind of put it all together in one thing, if I think about branding, it's just when someone thinks about your program, your kids' program, you as a children's evangelist, you as a church, when somebody says your name, what do they think of? That one thing. You have to be able to give them that. Otherwise, somebody else will. We have a responsibility to present our identity to the world, to whoever we're reaching for. Because if we don't, we abdicate that to somebody else who might not give the right identity, give that right message to the world. And we like to complain about somebody else has given that right, but If we don't do it, we're at fault for not identifying ourselves in the right way.
That's good.
So that's just a practical principle behind it all. And first and foremost, figure out who you're targeting. Figure out who you're – and you almost have to be somewhat exclusive in your actual brand, although we understand that we're reaching for everybody nonetheless.
Right.
So
that's good. That's good. And I think that's very important to realize and to remember, you know, whatever, you know, facet that we serve, you know, with having a kids ministry, you know, that we want to present it in a way that when people hear of our ministry, you know, and especially in the community, you know, that there's an identity that's been given. And so that's very good. That's very important. Mike, I know that, you know, when I've been up there with you all in Canada, I know that one thing that's impressed me with Atlanta Kids is there's a very strong focus on teams and having a team, because I've always said, you know, we know the phrase, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, I believe it takes a children's ministry team, you know, to reach a child. And so just kind of explain to us kind of the importance of team building and what are some guidelines into building a strong team in kids ministry?
In any team building, whether it be kids ministry or any, especially any ministry, as a leader, if you are the one building the team per se, you have to be secure within yourself, because building a team effectively means you have to recognize your weaknesses, and you have to be okay with your weaknesses, and you have to be okay with other people knowing your weaknesses. And just my personal philosophy about building my team is I bring in people who are brutally honest with me and are able to say, this is what you're not good at, so let me help you with that. And so I bring in people onto a team, whether it be in our local church or whether it be in our district level, who do things better than I do. I bring them on the team, number one, for their strengths, first and foremost, but also secondarily because of my weaknesses. I can't do it, whether it be I can't do everything or I just can't do it well. That would be the reasons why I bring people on board the team. In the district level, I have been given good liberty to be able to create our Atlanta Kids team on the basis of function. So we have kids activities coordinator. That's a member of our Atlanta Kids team. We have kids prayer coordinator. That's another member of our Atlanta Kids team. And, you know, if we were to bring other people on, we would like the quiz master. It would be functional based. And so it would be something that is their strength, maybe my weakness, but we can bring them together and have a strong team, because people are brought onto the team because of their strengths. And so communally, we have a strong team.
That's good. That's very good. And, man, I love what you just said about, you know, having a team. Really, you know, it's one of the more important things about having a team is being okay with your weaknesses and being okay with having people that can, you know, complement and have strengths. And because really, you know, it makes it to a point where it's not about just one person doing the work. You know, it's not about just one person, you know, seeing results. But as a team, you know, when a team of people can be involved and they can see results together, I really feel like that strengthens everyone, you know, and that really kind of builds behind, you know, a vision. And I think that's important too, is as a team having a vision, you know, for your kids ministry. So that's very good. That's very good. Well, Mike, thank you so much for being on the call tonight. Really appreciate, you know, your time and kind of sharing your insights and your expertise. Thank you so much.
Hey, man, thanks for inviting me to be a part of the team. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Thank you. And I want to say again, thank you to everyone. Oh, and real quick, Mike, what is the Atlanta Kids website so people can check that out?
We're atlantickids.ca.
Atlantickids.ca. Okay, so you can check that out. And it's a pretty sharp website, and kind of see how Mike does some things. So, Mike, thanks again for being on this call. And I want to say thank you again to Mickey. Connell, for being on the call, and again, for Rick for hosting, and all of you that have been listening. Continue to follow us on Twitter, at Kinetic Call, and also, too, at our Facebook, which is our Facebook page, which is simply Kinetic. And you can find the links to our podcast. We have podcasts available on iTunes. And this podcast will be available pretty soon as well. So thank you again for all those that have listened. And until next time, God bless.